If you'd like to turn again to Numbers chapter 13, we're not going to read the chapter because we read it last week. This is Enjoying Your Fruit part 2. Enjoying Your Fruit is the second part. Numbers chapter 13. A quick recap, of course, this is where the 12 spies went into Canaan. Only 2 had faith. The other 10 had unbelief. And because of the report of the 10 spies, those who just saw giants, who saw fortified cities, who saw themselves as grasshoppers, because of the report of the 10 weak spies, the Israelites chose not to go into the land of promise, into the land of Canaan. And of course, they suffered for it because they all perished. Now, let's ask the question, were the people's fears justified? Were they justified? Were the people's fears justified? Because certainly the foes that they faced were formidable. They were formidable. They were formidable foes. But I would suggest, and I'm sure you agree, that the biggest error that they did was that they chose to look at the situation through their own eyes rather than through God's. Don't forget, God had already promised them that he would go with them. Don't forget, God had already promised them that they would inhabit the land. He was giving it to them. He'd made these promises. He never said it would be easy, but he said, don't be dismayed. I am with you. Be of good courage. But nevertheless, what they faced was formidable. It was formidable. Friends, we shared last Sunday, and those of you who weren't here may have had opportunity to listen to the sermon on the web since. It's a familiar story, Numbers chapter 13. Don't beat yourself up, please. But has it been a situation that you have faced, either as an individual, or as a family, or in the work situation, a health issue, a financial issue, something that virtually overwhelmed you? Maybe you went to pieces. Why was that? Who am I speaking to? Why did you go to pieces? Why did you have a great panic? Why did you go to pieces? I think you know why it was. I know why I lose it sometimes. Because I've just seen the situation. I've just seen the problem. I've just heard the bad news. And I react like the majority do react. After all, we're people of emotions, and some things are pretty horrible, difficult to digest. People irritate us. We lose it. I know that I've taken my eyes off God. I know that I'm just concentrating on the situation, on that piece of bad news, on that doctor's report, on the trial within the family, on the work situation, on that negative report. So I put that challenge, I put that issue, I put that problem between me and God. I know it happens, but this week, and I've not heard anything, I've not heard a thing. I would not publicly say something if I was aware of it. But I don't think you've got over it. You're still living in that failure. You're still living under now the condemnation because you know that you blew it big time, despite what you heard last week. Well, now is the time. Even, I don't know, maybe during this, the wonderful praise and worship this morning, that you at last were able to draw near to God and to receive his love and his forgiveness and see actually God is greater than your problem. God is greater than that which caused you to stumble this week. So I know the Holy Spirit is saying to you, brother, sister, look up now. We mentioned last week that these stories in the scripture are there for our instruction. They're not just good stories, but they are there also that we may learn from them, that we don't make the same mistakes, and that we actually do enter into the promises of the Lord and enter that promised land. That which he's prepared for us now and that which he's preparing for us in the future. If there's still something that is really gripping you, is paralyzing you through fear, doesn't necessarily mean, I'm not saying that news, that situation is suddenly, immediately, or next week going to disappear and everything will be made good and smooth. I don't know that. But what I do know is the Lord is saying to you, let my presence go with you. I can smooth the rough places. I'm bigger than that mountain. Can you not see me? Can you not see me, God is saying? I'm not going to forsake you. You're going to triumph even in this situation. I am the omnipotent one. Yes, I am your provider, even in this crisis time. I am Jehovah Jireh still. If I could part the waters, can I not do this for you? And your own failure and sin and the unbelief and what the evil one is trying to put on you. The Lord is saying, I am the strong one. I am your deliverer. Look to me. What I have promised you, I am not one who says lies and does the opposite. What I have promised you, that I will do. And though you may go through some a fiery furnace, lo, my angels will be in there with you, and you will come out without a burn mark on you. Though you may feel you're being overwhelmed by the floods and you're liable to sink, my arms are underneath you, says the Lord. But this is an opportunity to lean hard on God. This is an opportunity, brother, sister, to either have faith in the Lord and come out victorious and enter the promises and all that God has provided, or just cave in and be as the world. Defeat beckons. That's not God's will. That is not God's heart for you. I am the Lord. I am your strength. Brother, sister, if you've been born again of the Holy Spirit, if you have found Christ, or should I say Christ has found you, you have the testimony of Jesus Christ dwelling within you. And because of this, you and I, We have been shown a path of conquest and a path of victory. Hallelujah. We need to stay on this path. Alex has been preaching and speaking much about the narrow gate which we've had to go in to find Christ. We had to humble, die, leave our sin there at the cross, enter in and find the acceptance of Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which makes rich. And now we've got to stay on that narrow path. The path which leads to life is the path where the will of God is being done. If you're on this path, though you have deviated and I have from time to time, it's now we've got to focus. The end is coming, friends. We're living in climatic times. There's a shaking going on. This is an opportunity, having seen that we are weak, we are foolish, but God is able, God is wise, God is all powerful. He will keep you in these coming days so that you can be a light to those who are sinking in mire and sin. The opportunities that you've had this week, some of you have taken them for the glory of God. God placed things which were test, and you didn't falter. You momentarily thought, I am not able. What is this? But then you said, my God is able. My God is willing. Not faith in yourself, faith in this great God. The enemy will be pushed back time and time again. And just as he knows that his reign is short, he is the prince of this world, he is the great deceiver, he is the father of lies. Just as he knows his time will come to an end, so he also knows that they who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered, and that he has prepared for the Lord's people. The Lord has prepared for the Lord's people a great welcome home soon. He is presently preparing something for you. He's presently at work, preparing just for you a place where you will enjoy eternity with him. The devil knows this. It's why we need to keep focused on Jesus. Though I am weak, he is mighty. And each victory you have, however small, we've heard a testimony or two this morning, however small and insignificant it may be, it builds faith. It really does. It encourages us. We will keep going. We will keep going, even though the news in the world and in our country and in our neighbourhoods is not good. We have faith, we have hope, we have a confidence that our God is able. And that he's prepared something glorious for his people. And right now, each victory that you have enables you to walk stronger in the Lord. I am on the Lord's side. Glory to his name. Are you on the Lord's side? Bigger testings are coming, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What was the burden of the word that you brought this morning, Vera? Can you recall? Though the trust in the Lord, let him direct your paths. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God. Foolishness to man, but to those who are believing, those who are not perishing, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Friends, There is no obstacle too great for the promises of God. There is no obstacle too great for the promises of God. Listen, God may deal with that obstacle, that challenge, that difficulty in a different way to what you would like. But that doesn't mean to say he's defeated. He can't be defeated. He may just give you the strength, the grace, the will to walk straight through. And you'll come out the other side and think, well, he didn't deal with that situation. I didn't have that answer that I was hoping. I didn't have that miracle in the way that I really wanted. But the Lord showed up. He said, I am your shepherd. You will not want. That is getting God's will done on earth, you see, when we're obedient to him. It's not getting my will done. Getting God's will. That's grace. That's faith. Knowing that, yes, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Sometimes he's just saying, just hold my hand. Keep trusting me. I want. You will have the desires of your heart as you walk, but the desires of your heart must be in conformity to my will, that I will be with you. That you want to be right in the center of my will, says the Lord. Then I will provide. I will provide the grace. I will provide the strength. My grace is sufficient for you. Friends, we're going totally different to what I thought. The Lord knows. What are you gazing at? What are you lingering at? What you gaze, what you linger on, you actually become. So, may God help us. May there be real breakthroughs this morning. If you're gazing, if you're lingering, if you're staying, looking intently at the promises, you'll see God. You'll see God. Because the more we look at God's promises, the smaller the problems become. But are you lingering? Are you gazing at the problems? And just quick glance at the promises. Oh yeah, that's in the word, but. Oh, but. That is the enemy's favourite word, but. That's the enemy's favourite word. But. Did God say, but? May God help us that we gaze, we linger, we feast on the promises of God. Folks, if we don't, the more we're absorbed by the problems, the more formidable they become, don't they? But the more we look at God's promises, we see he is able, he is willing. Don't doubt his power. In fact, beloved, the size of our obstacles is really dependent upon the size of our God. Children sing, sometimes we may sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Well, that is true. He's the creator. He upholds all things. We know that. But friends, it comes down to the nitty gritty. Do you know this morning he has you in his arms? Do you? Do you? God is wanting that. Let's pray. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, "I believed and therefore I spoke," we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we're always confident, knowing that we, while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Lord, bring your word home to us, we pray, and accomplish that which you would please. Amen.